John chapter 20. And our text for this evening is the verse 20. We announced this morning in this series of the hands of Christ. We said we want to deal tonight with worship and the wounds of Christ. And here in verse 20. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands. He showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. It was the first day of the week when the Lord Jesus rose from the dead, and he left behind him an empty tomb. It became a very busy day for him once he rose from the dead, because he purposely revealed himself unto his followers and to his disciples. Here we see that the risen Lord made himself known. In chapter 20 and verse 1 and verse 16, he made himself known first of all unto Mary Magdalene. Then in verse 1, it was the first day of the week, so we want to make sure it's the same day. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, and to the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Verse 16, and Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. So he purposely reveals himself first of all unto Mary Magdalene. Then in Luke chapter 24, you go over to Luke 24, read there in verse 33, and they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. So there's the second person that he has purposely revealed himself unto, Mary Magdalene, then unto Simon Peter. Then in the same chapter, Luke 24, we find him appearing unto the Emmaus disciples. They were traveling from Jerusalem, very cast down, and suddenly a stranger drew near and went with them. Their eyes were beholden, for they didn't recognize who it was. But the Lord asked them why they were so cast down and why they were so sad, and they said, have you not heard? And they unburdened their hearts to the Lord. You'll notice whenever you read through that chapter, and the Emmaus disciples and the Lord walking with them, they unburdened their heart, and the Lord never said a word. As they unburdened their heart to him, as I said before many times, Christ is a good listener. And he listened to what those Emmaus disciples had to say. He appeared unto them. And we are told that they returned to Jerusalem when they realized who it was. And we read in verse 33. Again, they found the 11, verse 33, Luke 24. They rose up the same hour, that is, the Emmaus disciples. They rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them. So there you have Mary Magdalene, then you have Simon Peter, and then you have the Emmaus disciples. And no sooner had the Emmaus disciples reported to that little assembly of disciples in a certain place, then the Lord Jesus appeared unto that little assembly. That brings us back to John 20 and verse 19. We're there in verse 19. Then the same day, it's the same day at evening. So it's still the Lord's day. It's still the first day of the week. The same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, when the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst of them, saying unto them, peace be unto you. So there's the four purposeful appearances of the Lord unto his followers, unto his disciples. There were those women who were approaching the sepulchre that morning, and they saw him, but here we have the four deliberate appearances of the Lord unto certain individuals. They were not told what Simon Peter's reaction was. Simon Peter, the one who had denied the Lord with oaths and curses. And so what took place in that appearance of the Lord and Peter, the conversation is kept from us. Conversation that only Peter and the Lord know about. And then there was Mary Magdalene. We know how she responded. She turned herself when the Lord said, Mary, and she turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. We know what the response of the two Emmaus disciples was. They returned to Jerusalem and told the disciples gathered here, did not our heart burn within us as the Lord talked with us? By the way, opened the scriptures and expounded unto us all those things concerning himself. So here we are now. We're at with this little group, and we're told it was evening. Same day, same Sabbath day. It's evening now. The Lord has appeared to Mary Magdalene, to Simon Peter, and to the Emmaus disciples, and now he appears unto this little company of believers. We want to see what took place there when the Lord appeared unto those few disciples. It was the first day of the week. And upon the first day of the week, think of them, when they gathered together there, that little company of believers, it was the first day of the week, and they saw Christ. Isn't that who we want to see when we assemble together on the first day of the week? Is it not our prayer, sir, we would see Jesus? We come to God's house to worship the God of heaven, and we come to God's house to spend time around the Word and to see Christ as he's revealed to us in the Scriptures. For it doesn't matter where we turn to. In any one of the 66 books of the Bible, Christ is there. We cannot miss but see him. And so, and the Lord appeared unto the company of disciples there. We read verse 20, and when he had so said, that is when he said, peace be unto you, he showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Would that not be our prayer? We come to the Lord's house on the first day of the week. We want to see Christ, and we would say, Lord, show us thy hands. Because those hands would remind us of Calvary. I want us to consider, first of all, the gathering. We're told that it was the first day of the week, that the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them. While they're described as the 11, there was only 10 there. Thomas wasn't there, and obviously Judas wasn't there. And so there were the 10 disciples, and they that were with them. So there were others there as well. They had gathered with the disciples, and it was then that the Lord appeared unto them. We see, first of all, the day. Regarding this gathering, we notice the day. We have emphasized it was the first day of the week. It was the first day of the week. Whenever these disciples gathered together and the others that were with them, and it's the first day of the week that we gather ourselves together. No, we're not Seventh-day Adventists. We don't gather together on a Saturday. We come together on the first day of the week. The Sabbath day, the Christian Sabbath, the Lord's day. And when the disciples gathered themselves together, we see that it was the day that Christ rose from the dead. Now, we are not told the exact location where the disciples were assembled that day, but it was Resurrection Day. But I noticed that the others knew where to find them. Isn't that interesting? We read about Mary Magdalene. And Mary Magdalene, when she met the Lord, we're told in verse 18 of John 20, Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples, so she knew where to find them, came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. So Mary Magdalene knew where to find the disciples. Not only did Mary Magdalene know where the disciples had gathered together, but so did the Emmaus disciples. We noted that in Luke 24 and verse 32 and 33. And so there's Mary Magdalene. She knew where to find the disciples. The Emmaus disciples, after they had seen the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, and they knew where to go and knew where to find them gathered together. Now we can apply that to ourselves. When it comes to the first day of the week, when it comes to the first day of the week, do others know where to find us? Mary Magdalene knew where to find the disciples. The Emmaus disciples knew where to find the others, the 10, and those that were gathered with them. And so when it comes to the first day of the week, do others know where we will be on the first day of the week? Do others say, well, I needn't call and see so-and-so today, because I know they'll be in church, they'll be in the Lord's house. When we go out of our homes at our given times of worship, no doubt the neighbors see us going out and getting into our cars and driving off. And they'll probably say, or possibly say, oh, I know where they're going. They're going off to church. It's the first day of the week. And others knew where the disciples were on the first day of the week. All that others might know where to find us on the first day of the week. Setting aside illness and such things like that. And so it was with the 11 gathered together, and then that were with them that Christ appeared. You have not only the day, first day of the week, you have also the desire. When we look at this little assembly of a few disciples, do we not think of the desire those disciples have in assembling themselves together on the first day of the week? Sure, they could have been anywhere. They could have gone anywhere. They could have visited anywhere. But they didn't. They came together. And it was, yes, it was a small group, but they came together. Why? Because it was their desire. They had a desire to come together. And that prompts us then to ask the question, why was Thomas not there? Thomas was there at the meeting the following Sabbath day. But he wasn't here at this first meeting on the first day of the week. And you say, Thomas, why were you not there? Was it because he didn't have the same desire as the others? Did he have something else to do? Did he have an excuse for not being there? Had he a stronger desire to be somewhere else? We don't know. Well, we know that by his absence from that meeting, he missed out. He missed out. Because at that first meeting of the risen Lord with his disciples, Christ appeared unto them, and Thomas missed that. He wasn't there. He missed seeing the risen Christ. What a blessing he missed. And surely that in itself would increase our desire to assemble with God's people upon the first day of the week. Why? Because we want to see Christ. We want to see him as he's here in this word. That would surely increase our desire. I must be in the Lord's house. As I say, setting aside sickness and mitigating circumstances. I must be in the Lord's house. Because the Lord will reveal himself, will show himself as he is in the word. Christ will be preached. And that's why it's not vain repetition. It is my earnest desire and prayer that before I preach, I ask the Holy Ghost to give me help and power to preach the word and always to preach Christ. Always. And here, Thomas missed out on a meeting with the Lord Jesus. You think of it. First day of the week. Isn't that what brought the visitors to the sepulchre? They had gone there to see Christ. The women had gone there with their spices to anoint the body of Christ. Remember, they said, who will roll away the stone for us? They wanted to anoint the dead body of the Lord. But when they got there, remember what the angel said. The angel was there. And he said to those who had gathered at the sepulchre that morning, why seek ye the living among the dead? You think of it. Those who went to the sepulchre that morning had gone there to see a dead Christ. Because they didn't think and didn't know he had risen. The women had gone there to anoint his body, the dead body of Christ. But when we assemble here on the first day of the week, we're here not to worship a dead Christ. We're here to worship, to sing the praises of a living Christ. One who has conquered death and hell and Satan. They had gone to the sepulchre expecting to see a dead Christ. But we gather here each Lord's Day, the first day of each week, we come expecting to see the living Christ as He's revealed here in the Word. As well as the day and the desire, there's also the duration. It would appear that when the disciples gathered together and them that were with them, that they were in no hurry away from that meeting. You compare the references. First of all, Mary Magdalene has seen the Lord, and we read, first day of the week cometh Mary early. So Mary's at the tomb early. The Lord then reveals Himself unto her, and Mary then goes and finds the disciples. She knew where to find them, and she tells them that you've seen the risen Lord. He's alive. Seen Him. So there you are. It's early on the Sabbath day. It's early on the first day of the week. Now they were still gathered together, those disciples, when the Emmaus disciples came and told them. Go back to Luke 24. Luke 24, verse 29, the Lord has walked with those Emmaus disciples, and now they've arrived at their home. And we read in verse 29, and they constrained Him, saying, abide with us, listen, for it is toward evening. Now we have learned from Mary Magdalene visiting the disciples. That was early in the morning. She was at the sepulchre early in the morning, so it's still morning, I would believe. The interview with the Lord didn't take that long. And she left the sepulchre and went and told the disciples. Now we read that they constrained Him, the Lord Jesus, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening. So the day is well spent now. It is toward evening, and the day is far spent, and He went in to tarry with them. Verse 33. And they rose up the same hour, returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together. They're still together. It's toward evening when the Lord and the disciples, the Emmaus disciples, arrived at their home. As another of them said, Lord, abide with us, and it's toward evening. And then when the Lord left them, the disciples went, and they found the 11 gathered together. So it's later on now in the day. It's toward evening now. We come now to John 20 and verse 19. Then the same day at evening the disciples were assembled. Do you get the picture? Those disciples had gathered together early on the first day of the week because Mary Magdalene was able to go and speak to them. She had been at the sepulchre very early. So let us say it was later on in the morning when she met with the disciples and told them she'd seen the Lord. He'd risen indeed. So they were assembled then when the Emmaus disciples came to them. It was toward evening and they were still together. Now we read, then the same day at evening. They've been together all day. That's the point. They've been together all day. They were obviously in no hurry home. They were the Lord's disciples. They were together. And no doubt they had fellowship one with the other. Before the Lord appeared unto them, they no doubt tried to comfort themselves regarding the Lord. But they were together. They were no hurry away. They enjoyed one another's company. That's it. They enjoyed one another's company. And they had spent basically most of the first day of the week, they spent it assembled together. What does that remind us of? Reminds us of the opening verse of Psalm 133. How good, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And those disciples were dwelling together in unity. They had that little assembly. They'd been together most of the day. And they're really in no hurry home. A few weeks ago we considered Anna. That aged saint, calculated she was over 100 years of age. And what did we read about Anna? She was a widow about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. What does it say? She was a widow of about 84 years. That was after she was married. She lost her husband, as we calculated then. She only married 7 years when she lost her husband. And she was a widow then for 84 years. But served God with fasting and prayer night and day. She departed not from the temple. She never left the temple. Now that tells us something. She loved the house of God. She loved God's house, and she served the Lord night and day with fasting and prayers. She loved God's house. Do we have that love for God's house? Robert Murray McShane. I love to read McShane. Robert Murray McShane said he would rise early on the Lord's Day because he said he wanted a long Sabbath. He wanted to enjoy a long Sabbath day. Well, the disciples and those that were with them certainly had a long Sabbath from morning right through to evening. They were assembled together the whole time, enjoyed one another's fellowship. Isn't that what we missed there a few months ago when we were not even allowed to assemble like this? We just missed being in the company of God's people, being able to talk to one another. Well, these disciples certainly enjoyed their time together. They were together the whole day. As well as the day and the desire and the duration, we notice their dread. We're told that where they were met, they had their doors shut. That's what it says. The doors being shut. We're told then in verse 19 why. For fear of the Jews. very evident. The Jews at that time, just 3 days after the crucifixion, had no love for the followers of Christ. Just look over the page or the previous chapter. John 19, verse 38. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. But up until that point, Joseph of Arimathea had remained a secret disciple. He was a follower of Christ, but he didn't want anybody to know. Why? For fear of the Jews. He was afraid of what the Jews might do to him if they found out that he was a follower of Jesus of Nazareth. And here we have his little assembly of believers, and they're in a certain meeting place. The doors were shut for fear of the Jews. That's one thing. Just one thing is good about going to the Lord's house on the Lord's day, the first day of the week. We come into this building. The doors are shut. And symbolically, we're shutting out the world. The world passes us by, but here we are. An assembly gathered together in the Lord's house on the first day of the week, and their doors are shut to keep the world out. Because we don't want the world in here. We want to reach the world with the gospel, yes, and those in the world with the gospel. But so many, too many places of worship has the world in the church. Remember some missionary, can't remember his name, came home in furlough. And he said he looked for the church in the world. But instead he found the world in the church. No, we don't want the world in the church. We're in the world, but we don't want to be off the world. In 1 John 2 verse 15 tells us, if we love the world, we don't love God. Plain and simple. So the doors were shut for fear of the Jews. So we have the gathering. We notice secondly the grace. There's much about grace in our text tonight. Everything that took place in the meeting there the first day of the week was bathed in grace. First of all, we consider the person. That is the person of the Lord Jesus. The disciples and others gathered with them, having the door shut, we're told, then came Jesus and stood in the midst. How he entered with the doors being shut is no problem for me. He lay in a grave for 3 days and 3 nights. And as has been said, they didn't roll away the stone to let Christ out. The stone was rolled away to let others in. He's God, you see. And there, the doors were shut. Nevertheless, the Lord was still there. He came and stood in the midst. And the Lord evidently loved to be where his people are gathered. He came to them. That's it. He spoke to Mary Magdalene. He came to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. He came to them. He came to Simon Peter, and here he came to this little band of believers. Aren't we glad? The Lord loves to be with his people, and aren't we glad that he's not ashamed to be with a little band of people? For didn't he say, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Where two or three. We live in the days of mega churches. And these men boast about their bus ministry, how many buses they have to bus the people in, and the size of the church. The Lord knows all that's in it. But I'm glad the Lord's interested in the two and the three. For where two and three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. The Lord willingly came to that little group of people. And here he is. Where we behold the grace of the Lord. Think of it. Here is grace. That the Lord Jesus came to that small group of his disciples. Thomas not being there, and Judas of course not being there. These were the disciples who forsook him and fled. That the scriptures might be fulfilled. When the shepherd would be taken, the sheep would be scattered. And when they arrested the Lord Jesus, every one of those disciples deserted him. Left him alone. In his greatest hour of need. Yes. I know he's God. He's man. But he would have wanted his disciples to be with him. Didn't he ask them to pray with him and to pray for him in Gethsemane? And here the Lord came to them, made it his point to go to that group of disciples who deserted him and left him alone, abandoned him. That's grace. John 1:14 tells us the Lord Jesus is full of grace and truth. Many another leader would have come to those so-called followers of his and rebuked them sharply for their desertion, but not Christ. The Lord Jesus came to those disciples who had forsaken him and abandoned him. And the first thing he said to them, peace be unto you. That's all of grace. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace. That's who Christ is. We've seen the person. Next we see the place. We look and it says, then came Jesus and stood in the midst. Sure isn't that his rightful place? For he who was in the midst of Calvary, those three crosses, the two malefactors, one on either side, and Jesus in the midst. He was in the midst on Calvary. You look up to heaven by faith, and you see Christ. He's in the midst of the throne in heaven. You look again, and you see him there in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. He's in the midst there. That's his rightful place. When we come together to worship, the Lord Jesus must always be in the midst. We quoted those words of the Savior in Matthew 18 and 20. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. See, he takes up his rightful place. And when we come to worship on the first day of the week, we must have Christ in the midst of our preaching, in the midst of our prayers, in the midst of our praying. Because he is all in all. And that first day of the week, in the evening, the Lord Jesus came and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. With the person and the place and the peace. When the Lord Jesus joined the meeting on the first day of the week, first words of the other, peace be unto you. I'm sure those disciples thought he would have said something else. After all, they had forsaken him, abandoned him, left him alone. But instead, he said, peace be unto you. A word in season for these disciples, because first of all, because of their fears. Because of their fears. Isn't that why they were gathered together with the doors being shut? For fear of the Jews. But it's different now. It's different now. Because the Lord Jesus has appeared. That makes the difference. Christ always makes the difference. And the Lord Jesus appeared unto them. And all would be well now. Because the Lord was there. Present with them. And what did he bring them? They were not there with the doors being shut for fear of the Jews. The word fear means they were terrified. Terrified. And the Lord came unto them and said, peace be unto you. And all was changed. How many times have you gone up to the Lord's house on the Lord's day? When you're able to, you shook hands with others. You took your place in the meeting house here. And nobody knew the burden you had in your heart. You came to the Lord's house and you were worried about something. You were worried about something that you wouldn't share even with your closest friend. And even at home you wondered, should you go to church today? I don't really feel like going. I have this burden on my heart. I have this worry. But you came anyway. And you sat there during the meeting. And you listened to the word preached. And you said after the meeting, I'm glad I came. Because that was a word for me. And the word that you heard brought peace to your heart. The Lord left you with his peace, as he promised. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. All was well now. Christ was with them and brought them peace. They were glad of this peace because of their fears and because of their failures. We've already noted they had all deserted the Lord. They all forsook him and fled. Mark 14, verse 5. They'd forsaken him and they'd run away. They'd run away. Just like sheep. And the wolf appeared. They ran away. What would he say to them when he would meet with them again? Would he speak to them with a sharp rebuke? Would he address them as deserters? As cowards? No, none of those things. He said, "Peace be unto you." Haven't we a wonderful Savior? These words tell us that the Lord doesn't hold spite. These words tell us the Lord doesn't hold a grudge. He only had words of peace for them. Considered his person, his place, his peace. That brings us now to his pierced hands. The Lord knew what was before him. Before he came into the world as God manifest in flesh. Christ knew why he was coming. Christ knew what he was coming to and what he was coming into the world for. You read Psalm 22. Wonderful psalm. C.H. Spurgeon said, when you read Psalms 22, before you do so, put off the shoes from off your feet, because the ground you stand on is holy ground. It's a messianic psalm. It's a psalm of Christ. And you get to the verse 16, and this is what the Lord said, "For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet." That's what he said long, hundreds of years before it actually happened. But he knew what was before him. Those hands that had held so many, those hands that had healed so many, those hands that had helped so many, they were nailed. Nails went through those hands and fixed him. No, it wasn't the nails fixed Christ to the cross. It was his love for sinners. Surely could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. Yeah, he didn't even need 10,000 angels. But nevertheless, his hands were pierced through with those nails. And when he comes into the midst of those disciples, Luke tells us, Luke adds a word. Luke says, the Lord said, "Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself." Luke 24, verse 39. He said, "Behold." In other words, he wanted those disciples to look at his hand, to look at his wounds. And seeing those wounds reminded them of the cross. He didn't want them to forget the cross. "Behold my hands." He didn't want them to forget the cross. And listen, the Lord doesn't want us to forget the cross. First, second Lord's Day of each month, we have the table spread for the Lord's table. The Lord instituted that. And he told his disciples then, this bread, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Don't forget me. And when you take the cup, it speaks of my blood. This do in remembrance of me. The Lord does not want us ever to forget the cross. The psalmist says, If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. Psalm 137, verse 6. Not only did they speak, the wind speak to them of his cross, he spoke of the confirmation. In other words, he showed them his hands and his feet. It was confirmation that he was the one who said, I am he that liveth and was dead and am alive forevermore. It confirmed that Christ was alive. And we come to the Lord's house on the Lord's day and we come to worship a living Savior. He's alive. This first day of the week, and it is toward evening here tonight, last day of February, toward evening. And we say, Lord, show us thy hands. Let us see thy wounds. We finish quickly in the last point. We've seen the gathering, we've seen the grace, we've seen now the gladness. Here certainly was a story that had a happy ending. Verse 20, and when he so said, he showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. There's the gladness. The gladness came when they saw his hands. They showed him, mark the words, he showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. So a sight of the nail-pierced hands of Christ gladdened them, and it ought to gladden us. You say, how come? Wounded for me. Wounded for me. There on the cross he was wounded for me. Drawn my transgressions, and now I am free. All because Jesus was wounded for me. That's why we'll be glad when we see the wounds of Christ. Because we know those wounds put there for us. And from those wounds flowed the blood. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There were the hands. What did that lead to? It led to happiness. Those disciples had been meeting in that certain place, the doors being shut for fear of the Jews. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. And sure, a view of Christ our Savior would gladden the heart of any Christian. And seeing him, and seeing his pierced hands and his side, our cry surely would be, yea, yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend. This is my beloved. See what he did for me. See the nail prints in those hands. He did it for me. All for me. So let us gather together. First day of each week. Again with those words upon our lips. That came from the Greeks. And they came to the disciples and they said to the disciples, sir, we would see Jesus. I have those words here on my pulpit. Not that I need any reminding. But whoever stands in this pulpit, that's the prayer of this church. Sir, we would see Jesus. Amen. Let's bow in prayer. Oh dear Lord, we bless thee for our dear Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who died for sinners, rose again for justification. The tomb is empty. The cross is empty. But the throne in heaven is occupied. Lord, we thank thee for the Savior. We pray, Lord, that any listening tonight will consider their latter end and consider what Christ had done for sinners like them, that he has died, shed his blood, pierced through with nails and with a sword and with a cry of thoughts. Lord, what a wonderful Savior thou art, that thou didst go through so much for us. Lord, write thy word upon our hearts. May we consider it and think about it, meditate upon it even tonight. And save souls tonight. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and until the day breaks and the shadows all flee away. Amen.